Good evening, one and all, or good morning, depending on where you're listening from. Good to be in fellowship with you on this midweek church service once again. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. And praise God for giving us another opportunity to gather together to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to edify and encourage one another, and also to pray for one another. Our opening song is Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on high.
My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen.
Amen indeed, and praise God for ever leading us upward and onward. As long as time shall last, we will always continue to grow more in knowledge and in love of our Lord God. And praise His holy name. Time for opening prayer, and please let us bow our heads and our knees as we come before the throne of grace. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for bringing us safely through the first part of this week to another gathering and fellowship of brothers and sisters in the faith seeking to come up to higher ground. We give you control of this meeting, and we ask that thy presence will be here, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit. And may we indeed receive an abundant blessing as we dig into thy word of inspiration tonight. Spirit, open our understanding, quicken our discernment, and allow our memories to be sharp, that the words we hear and read and discuss will be embedded in our hearts, never to be removed, but to become the guide of our lives. Thank you so much that you're in control of all things, and there's nothing we need to fear about the future as long as we're hand in hand with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Continue to speed thy truth around the world, and thank you, Father, that we're a day closer to every decision being made and the coming of our Lord taking place. Please prepare us and get us ready. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And last time we were discussing what new book we wanted to go into, because we had finished Romans. And the suggestion was put forth to go through the book of Philippians, but it was discovered that we'd already gone through that book. And so the individual that suggested it agreed to select another book, the book of Acts. So that's what we're going to be going through here for the next several Wednesdays until we finish the book. And we begin at chapter 1, verse 1. Now, Acts was written by Luke. And so keep that in mind as we continue. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So the former treatise was the book of Luke, and Luke had sent that to Theophilus, which was a leader at the time. And Luke was basically about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then after Christ was resurrected, ascended to heaven 40 days later, then the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom Christ had chosen, as well as other apostles as well, such as Paul. So the Holy Ghost here, the Holy Spirit, was sent as a representative of Jesus to guide God's people, to choose other messengers, to give them commandments, directions, instructions, because Jesus was no longer going to be personally in their midst to lead and guide and instruct. And where did Jesus go after his ascension to heaven? After he had spent 40 days with his disciples, and they went to the mountain, and he was caught up in the clouds? Where did he go after that? Obviously went to heaven, but where in heaven in particular did Christ go? Any ideas? Amen. The first apartment. You can find that in Revelation chapter 4, I believe it's verse 11, where it talks about the door being opened in heaven, and there was seen the candlestick. the altar of incense. That's first apartment furniture. So right after Christ's ascension, he began ministering as our high priest in the first apartment of the heavenly sanctuary. And because Christ had taken humanity upon himself, and humanity is limited to the physical form, we can't be everywhere at once. We can only be in the location where our body is. So Christ lost his omnipresence ability of his godhood. So he couldn't be anywhere but physically where his human body was. And that is the first apartment. So in order for Christ to continue to lead and guide his people, he had to send a representative. And that's where the Holy Spirit came in. The Father couldn't be everywhere with his people because we would be destroyed by the brightness, this glory. And so he sent Jesus as his representative to mankind. So in like manner, Jesus could not physically be everywhere with his people at once because by taking humanity, he's limited. And so the Father couldn't be here because we'd be destroyed by his glory. So then the only way that instructions and guidance of a divine nature could come from heaven had to be through another God, God the Holy Spirit. Now, the angels could bring instruction, but the angels could not work in our hearts such as the Holy Spirit could. So after Christ ascended to heaven, he, through the Holy Spirit, gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So Christ is not the Holy Spirit, but he works through the Holy Spirit to continue to lead and guide his people on this earth. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions? Please feel free.
I was just thinking that was an amazing sacrifice that he made for us, not even knowing that he would save even one of us. It's unfathomable.
Amen. It's an infinite sacrifice. Christ indeed risked it all. I mean, if you've ever contemplated just how much Christ risked in order to make a way of escape for humanity from sin and death, it is just astounding. You know, Christ risked his godhood by becoming human. It wasn't just an unfallen nature that Christ took upon himself when he was born into humanity. It was a fallen nature received from Adam, received from Abraham, received from David, received from that whole lineage, including Mary. So it wasn't the unfallen nature that Adam had. It was the fallen nature that Abraham, David, and Mary had that Christ inherited. And if Christ would have, in a single instance, given in to the natural fallen tendencies of the fallen nature, if he would have had in the least committed sin, then he would not have just lost his human life by being a sinner. he would have corrupted his godhood. He would have allowed Satan to become his master because Christ would have obeyed the clamors of the fallen nature, thus allowed Satan to be his God, if you will, and then Satan could have used Christ's godhood to war against the God of heaven. Everything was at stake in this plan of salvation. To whom ye obey, ye become the servants of. So if Christ, being both God and man, but choosing only to live in his manhood, not his godhood, if Christ as a human had chosen in the least degree to serve Satan, he would have become a servant of Satan, which means Satan would have been able to control Christ and thus Christ's godhood, and would have immediately used the godhood of Christ to fight and seek to overthrow God Almighty. Did you understand that? That is why when Christ was born into humanity, he became the Son of God in a literal way. Being the Son of God made the Almighty greater in authority than his Son. Just as a father is greater in authority than his children. So then God the Father, greater in authority than God the Son, had the ability to destroy God the Son if Christ in his humanity would have chosen to sin. It's just amazing, and it's very solemn to think about what was risked in this plan for our salvation. You know, we look at Abraham having to sacrifice Isaac, and we see what troubles and heartache and agony that he went through all the way up to that point where he finally was bringing his arm down to slay his son and God stopped it. Multiply that by an infinite amount. And that's what type of agony the father would have had to go through if Christ would have chosen to sin. But praise his holy name, he never once chose to sin. He always did the will of his Father in human fallen nature. Christ never once tapped into his godhood when he was on the earth. He was a perfect example of a human being devoted to God every moment, delighting to do his will and not his own will, thus showing you and me and the rest of humanity that we can do the same if we are fully devoted to God. So Luke brings out the gospel of Jesus Christ in his book of Luke and sends it to this leader, Theophilus. And then he decides that he's going to write from the time that Christ ascended up throughout the different acts, the different actions, the different life history of the various apostles, especially Paul. So that Theophilus has a greater understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you're right, dear sister. It is an amazing sacrifice. Christ risked it all because he loved us tremendously.
I was going to say that even our wildest imagination would not be able to comprehend what Christ did for us, but then I answer my own question, and that is love.
Well, thank you for your patience. My computer just completely froze, and I had to pull the plug on it to shut it down and reboot it back up. But thank you for your prayer. That was really weird. But again, amazing plan of salvation. Would someone like to read verse 3?
To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
Amen. Thank you. Any thoughts about verse 3 before we move on?
Think of where Jesus was and being in a crossroads where many people came through at times. It was important for people to see him and to hear him and to experience him, because those stories went to their children and their children's children. It was proof that Jesus wasn't just some made-up story.
Amen, amen. And that's what the Jews were trying to do, bribing the soldiers to say that the disciples came while they were sleeping and stole his body away. So it was indeed important for Christ to manifest himself, not just to his disciples, but a whole lot of other people. And if I'm not mistaken, there were several hundred people that actually saw him ascend there on the Mount of Olives. It wasn't just the 12 disciples. There was quite a bit more. So that was definitely more than two or three witnesses to confirm that. That was 200 or 300 or 500 witnesses to confirm that Christ was indeed alive. And, you know, one of the more astounding passages came with the two individuals on the road to Emmaus, which I believe we'll get to a little farther into the chapter. And when they came back to the disciples, they thought they were all alone. It was dark, of course, and they thought they were all alone, but actually Christ was following them, although he was hidden by the angel, so he was invisible. And when they came into that room where the disciples were, Christ also passed in before the door was closed, and then he appeared to them at the appropriate time. So Christ still had his humanity. He didn't lose it. He was still human as well as God. So humanity can't pass through walls. Only a spirit can. The angels are spirits. They can pass through the wall. God is a spirit. He can pass through the wall. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. He can go through walls and buildings and so on. But Christ is not just God, a spirit. He's also human in one person. So Christ, since he's also human, cannot go through walls or doors or buildings. And so you understand that Christ was following these two disciples on the road of Emmaus back to where the disciples were in that room. And when the door opened up and the two disciples came in, Christ came along with them, although he was invisible. He was hidden by the angels. So that just shows you another infallible proof that Christ is the connecting link between God and humanity, because Christ is both God and human in one being. So praise God that we can understand this. There's a comment in the room. It says, YHWH equals Jesus. And I could agree with that. YHWH. Now, it's interesting when you look at the Hebrew writings, they did not use vowels. They did not use A, E, I, or U. So the written name for God in the Old Testament, representing the Lord God Michael, which became Jesus Christ, was YH or YHWH. Now, you can't pronounce YHWH. You can't pronounce YH. But what individuals did, instead of being limited to just writing the name that God gave in Hebrew, YH or YHWH, they added vowels. YHWH, they added vowels to make the word Yahweh. For YH, they added a vowel to be able to say Yah, Y-A-H. They added other vowels to be able to say other names for God, but God himself gave a name that was not able to be pronounced. But individuals are led to fanaticism or extremism, and they claim that they found the correct way to pronounce the name of God, such as Yahushua or Jehovah or Yehovah or a whole bunch of other names. And they claim that those names are more sacred than other names, such as Jesus. But you can't pronounce the name that God wrote for himself in Hebrew. So then there is no such thing as a sacred name for God that can be pronounced. Now, if we were over in Israel, it would be proper to use the Hebrew name for God. But we're not over in Israel. If we were Hebrew and had problems pronouncing English words, then it could be excusable for pronouncing the Hebrew name for God because we are Hebrew in nationality. But we're English, we're American. So again, I would request that the names we give for God in this room be English names and not Hebrew names. That way there's not confusion brought into the room. That way individuals are not led off on a side issue and are worried about fanaticism coming into the room. So there is a sacred name for God in Hebrew. It's YHWH or it's YH. It can't be pronounced. But God is the creator of all languages. And since we're not over in Israel, we're here in America, then we can use the English names for God, such as the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And that way there's not confusion brought into the room. And there's no one going to be misled. Now, if individuals here cannot follow my simple request, then I suggest you don't type in the room, you just listen. Or don't type in the Hebrew name for God unless we're dealing on that subject, which we are not. We're not dealing with what name God gave himself in Hebrew. We're dealing here with the plan of salvation that involves all three gods in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, sacrificing their interests in order to provide a way of escape from sin and death.
I just wanted to repeat, I guess when I was saying it, you left the connection was down. Well, I was saying that even in our wildest imagination, like we can't comprehend the sacrifice or the love that, I mean, what he did for us. And I answered my own question and I said, well, it's got to be love.
Oh, amen, dear sister. And thank you for repeating that. When you started to speak, I heard nothing, and that's when I knew my computer had frozen. But you're right, dear sister. Pure, unadulterated, godly love. That was what led the Father to develop the plan of our salvation. That is what led Christ in sacrificing himself to provide salvation for humanity. And that is what led the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and to be our comforter, our encourager, our reprover, and instructor. So yes, even the Holy Spirit loves us. And that's what Paul brought out in Romans. The love of the Spirit. So thank you, dear sister, for your comment. Amen. We need this same godly love in our hearts. Amen indeed. Well, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And whoever would like to pray, please feel free.
Dear Father in heaven, we come before you tonight with many things on our minds to give you praise for your unspeakable sacrifice for us. And there's many requests for prayer, for healing, as your will is. Whatever we ask must be according to your will. And we pray for this dear sister who does not follow rules, but that the Holy Spirit will speak to her heart and she will listen and come back in and be part of this family in Jesus' name. Thank you for the many blessings you've given us and for the songs we sing. And for singing them with us. Thank you for a place to sleep at night that's safe, for food to feed our bodies. Thank you for the kind of love that you give to us that the world does not know. And help us to be an agent to spread that love to other people. Help us to find more time to spend with you, to learn more about you, and to be a beacon of light to others that are stumbling along the way. And thank you, dear Lord, for doing this and for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
And dear Father in heaven, we thank you for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, thy watchful care and guidance. Thank you again that we're a day closer to heaven, and thank you for sending us your Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. And we pray that you will continue to work upon hearts, soften and subdue our natures, help us to give up our own will, our own way, in order to follow your will and way, that we may more and more exemplify the character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be with all of those who are being led astray. Deliver them from the pit of darkness. Bring them out into the marvelous light of truth. And we thank you, Father, so much for doing so. And thank you, Spirit, for leading and guiding into all truth. Pray that you will, in a special way, be with those who have requested prayers. Please hear and answer their petitions. Especially be with our dear sister Jean's brother and help him to recuperate from the burns that he received. And thank you that it wasn't more severe. Be with those giving silent prayer requests and help them to come up ever higher, ever closer to thee. Help them in their needs. And thank you, Father, for knowing what those needs are, because you have a personal interest in them. Be with our worker, as well as brothers and sisters in Papua New Guinea that are going through persecution, as there are some clans rising up and reverting back to their savage nature. Thank you for delivering according to thy perfect will, or for giving courage, grace, and strength to witness, even if their life should be taken. Thank you, Father, that the brain surgery went well on the little girl, Atara, that she is soon to be coming home, or maybe already home in recovery. And we pray that cancer that was removed is not anything serious, but maybe benign, and that they will have gotten it all from her mind, so that she may fully recover and be a living witness of your grace and compassion on her and the family. Be also with Janine and help her in her situation and lead her ever closer to thee. And thank you so much, dear Father, for hearing and answering all the prayer and requests made in this room or by thy people around the world, according to thy perfect will. We love you, Father. Help us to love you more. And thank you for your infinite love for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Amen. Oh, and praise God, dear sister, that your brother is already home and doing much better and is recuperating from his burns. Praise God indeed. And also praise God that they were just second degree at the worst and not third degree. That makes recovery much easier. So praise God indeed. That's great news. Are there any other thoughts, comments, any songs, testimonies that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead.
I found a song as kind of talking to me and thought I would share it with you. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace is so free, sufficient for me. And deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins we have sinned. The Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for me. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for us.
Amen. And thank you, dearest sister. It's been a while since I've heard that hymn. And thank you so much for singing it. Are there any other songs, any other thoughts, any testimonies that you'd like to give before we close tonight's service? Please feel free. Well, dear ones, thank you so much for your fellowship and for your participation. I pray that God will continue to bless you, protect you, and grant you his love, compassion, healing grace, and his presence throughout the remaining part of this week until we're able to come back together in fellowship just a couple days, and looking forward to that fellowship. So keep looking up, and I'd now like to leave you with this next scripture song. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Proverbs 22 verse 6. Love and prayers are with you, dear ones, and thank you for the same for me and mine. May God bless.